Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's one of the most lovely psalms, isn't it? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And every time I read that, I say, okay, I have a list. Whom shall I fear? I fear the crazy people who might come into a mall and shoot up the place while I'm shopping. What shall I fear? I fear that when I get older, I might not be able to take care of myself. What shall I fear? I fear that maybe one day the economy might crash and we won't have enough money. What do we fear? Oh, there's a laundry list of what we fear. And to say we have no fear, I don't know how you say that. All of us have fear. There's something lurking in the back of our heads that terrifies us. Some of it is real and very much a part of our lives, and other things we just wonder, what if? Hasn't happened, but we're still afraid of it. The man who wrote this is supposed to be King David. He certainly had a lot to be afraid of. Before he was king, he was being hunted down by professional assassins trying to get a hold of him because King Saul wanted him dead. After he became king, there was palace intrigue. One of his own sons tried to kill him. What do I have to fear? Plenty. And so I read these verses and I wonder what they really mean. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Is the psalmist on to something, a man who had danger all around him and yet could write these words? I don't think they're simply bravado. I think there's something to them. And he gives us the answer, not to be completely rid of fear, but how to handle the fears we have. And he gives us the answer in verse 4. One thing I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. The way the psalmist figured out how to deal with the very real fears that were around him was he would go to the house of God and sit and reflect. He said he wanted to see the beauty of the Lord. He didn't know a God who was far off in the heavens. He knew a God who was nearby, as do we. In the face of Jesus Christ, we see the beauty of God. One thing I love about this church is that we are open during the week. And you can come at any time and sit in this sanctuary and behold the beauty of the Lord and pray and seek his face. So often we get distracted. We get distracted by all the things that are happening in our lives that we forget the one, the only one, who can keep us safe from fear, and that is God. He said, I want to see him. And I thought, sometimes it's not very practical to come to this place, especially when the snow's drifting and the ice is in the parking lot. But you know, every time we pray, every time we stop and we ask for the presence of God, we turn that place into a holy place. I don't know how many times my vehicle has been turned into a holy place because I'm praying and singing and having a grand time in Jesus. We can turn our cars into a holy place. Turn off the radio. Don't look at the other drivers. Do look at the road. But we can turn that time into a holy place. My friend Bob Yeomans has a real fit on Sundays because he tells me he doesn't really like the fact that the chapel at Scand is used for other purposes. It's used for bingo, it's used for cards, it's used for crafts, and he said, and then they want to do church there. And we've talked about that, and I said, but Bob, When it's church, it's holy. We turn that space into a holy place. God is not confined to this beautiful place. Anytime we go to him in prayer, we turn it into a holy place. And the psalmist goes on to say that when he inquires that God will protect him, he'll set him high on a rock. You know what that means? That means we can see beyond the problems. So often when we're in fear and when we're in darkness, all we see is the mess around us and we don't see what's ahead. We don't go above that. That's why I love to, when I'm in an SUV, I can see the road better. When you're in a truck, you're higher. When you're on a mountaintop, you can see what's below. He puts us high on that rock so that we can see the road ahead. And so often in darkness, when we are in trouble, all we see is the trouble. And it's so important for us to be backed up by God, to be in that holy place. I remember when I was in my 20s, I was in a very toxic work environment, happened to be in a church. Now, I'm sure you've never experienced that, but boy, was I in a toxic environment. In fact, after that, I said, I will never work in a church again. Famous last words. But I was in a church, and the person who was in charge was smarter than me and older than me, and here I was, a native New Yorker, and I figured when something's wrong, you say it. And so I minced no words with my supervisor, who happened to be the pastor, and I said, I see what you're doing. I don't like it. It's not right. It's not godly. And, of course, then I became his target. I just painted the target right on me. And things got very stressful because he managed anything, even if it wasn't anywhere associated with my work, got pinned on me. And I thought, I don't know how I'm going to handle this. And every day, I felt like I was going into the lion's den. And I remember one day being so emotionally exhausted from the nonsense that I was receiving and feeling very trapped. And I was laying in my bed, not wanting to get up. And I said to God, I cannot make it through another day. I don't want to face this. I can't make it. So as I lay in bed, I started to chart the day in my mind. And I said, Lord, you've got to walk with me through this day, or I'm not going to make it through the day. And I got up, got dressed, went to work. By the end of the day, I looked back, and nothing had changed, but I was in such peace. And I thought, oh, well, maybe I should do that tomorrow. And I did it every day until the Lord sent me out of there. And I kept wondering, why on earth would God have allowed this mess to happen? But because of that mess, I went to seminary. And when I look back now, I have to, the pastor involved was put out of the church about a year later, has never received another call in the church because everybody found out what a nut he was. But someday I want to go back, maybe when we're on the other side, and say thank you. Because what happened there sent me into seminary. But I had to get up higher. When I read the gospel lesson that was written today, I often read it thinking that Jesus ran away. You read the first part of it where it says, after John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus withdrew. And so you get the sense that Jesus ran from the problem. But I read in the commentaries this week that where he went to was not withdrawing. He went right into the lion's mouth. He went to Galilee. If he had stayed in Jerusalem, he could have stayed with the teachers and preachers of the law and perhaps convinced them of who he was. But he went to a place that was heavily populated, that had all sorts of religious ideologies. They were not ethnically or racially or religiously pure. And they were people who were under a repressive regime. and they probably could have cared less about another itinerant preacher coming. They had a lot to worry about. And into that darkness, Jesus came. And it reminds me that Jesus never runs from our darkness. There is no darkness that we are going through that Jesus' light cannot penetrate. And it's also something we have to understand as the church. God doesn't want us to run away when there's darkness around us. God does not want us to hunker down in this place when there's darkness around us. What God wants us to do is to bring that light. Because there are people who are sitting in darkness, even in Door County, and we probably know their names. And it's time for us to bring his light. If you are experiencing that personal darkness today, Jesus is not running from it. He's going right toward you. And if you know that to be a fact, if you have experienced that in your own life, then it's time to bring the light to others. There are others who may never darken the door of this church who need to know that the light has come. Jesus didn't run away from Herod that day after he learned that John the Baptist was in prison. He went right to the darkest place of his world and preached. And what did he preach? Good news and healing. It's the same message we have to preach today. Let us pray. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before you, near to the heart of God. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that when our energy and our focus is on you, then the very real fears that we have pale in comparison with looking at you. So, Lord, help us this week to be you. Amen. Would you